Bibles, the book of Luke this morning, Luke chapter number 14, and I do appreciate the good songs, good testimony, and I'm glad we as the people of God, amen, we're headed to the city whose builder and maker's God, amen. Luke chapter 14, your will and able stand this morning, and we'll begin reading verse number 16. Luke chapter number 14, beginning in verse number 16. You pray God to touch us. I certainly do need His help. Without Him, I cannot preach, can't do anything without the Lord. Amen. And so you pray God enable us this morning. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. The Bible said, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and made many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. They all at one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, have bold a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly in the streets and lanes of the city, bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men that were which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today one more time for the privilege to call upon your name. Oh, Father, I pray in that name which is above every name. In the name of Jesus, I pray today that you'd touch these lips of clay and enable me. Oh, God, I need you this morning. If you don't touch me, there'll be no preaching done. Lord, except you work in the hearts, no lives will be changed. Lord, we are dependent upon you. Without you, we're nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. Oh, Father, save sinners, stir your people. Oh, Lord, may the Word of God find the rest and place in our heart that it needs to have. May it bring forth fruit in our life. And all you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at the first part of verse 18 this morning where Jesus said, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. And I'm going to preach this morning out of this passage of Scripture, God being my helper, about excuses. For we find how some excuses are made in this text of Scripture. Now, there's 3 things I'll look at and I'll be done and get out of the way. Can I say, first of all, in verse 16 and 17, and verse 21 and 23, that there's the invitation extended. For the Bible said a certain man made a great supper and made many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly in the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, the halt and blind. Verse number 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. We find this parable that Jesus has given, that an invitation is sent out. Now you know well that a parable is a story, a narrative, of something earthly relating spiritual truth. And the Lord in this text of Scripture is at a Pharisee's house, and he's already dealt with them about choosing a better seat at a supper, and now he is talking about the invitation to come to a great supper. Now he said, as a matter of fact, he said, there come, for all things are now ready. Can I say, first, the first invitation in verse 16 and 17 was just to the Jew. The Bible tells us in John 1 verse 11, he came
to his own. Amen. Understand this. Had the Jew received him, they were looking or supposed to have been looking for Messiah, and he came. And he came then, but the Bible said, but they received him not. They weren't interested in Jesus Christ. And they didn't heed the invitation. Over and over again, he makes an invitation to the nation of Israel. But we find out in John chapter 19, they have a time they're presented their king. Pilate says to them in John 19 and verse 14, behold your king. But they cried out and said, away with him, crucify him, saith them. And then the Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Hey, they rejected the invitation of the king. They said no to Jesus Christ. Please understand this. The first move God made was to Abraham, called Abraham out. I started the Jewish people through him. Hey, they are God's chosen people, but they rejected him. They rejected his message. Hey, the cross, he was crucified, and they had rejected the king. And then we see a second invitation is sent out in verse 21 and 23. And this is the Jew and Gentile making up the church. Hey, there is an invitation extended to lost humanity this morning. Had to come to Christ. All things are ready. Jesus is soon coming. Hey, you must receive Christ or you'll perish without Christ. Oh, friend, hey, he said first in the streets and lanes of the city, of those that were there at Jerusalem. And then he said the highways and hedges, that's outside, that's the corners of the world. Hey, the Lord now has sent messengers throughout the world. I'm declaring Jesus is coming. Things are ready. I get saved. Be prepared to meet him. Oh, friend, the invitation is going out to sinners today. You know, as you sit here this morning, lost, God one time more time in mercy has given you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. I like what Brother Tim said in Sunday school. I'm in 100% agreement with it. Some may not like it, but I believe in lordship. Amen. You get saved, he'll become Lord of all, or he won't be Lord at all. Hey, you come to Christ saying, I want to be saved, but I ain't letting go of this, and I'm not going to repent of my sin. You won't get saved. Amen. Hey, the terms of the gospel is that you repent and turn to Christ. Amen. Oh, friend, but multitudes upon multitudes are in churches across America today hearing the invitation to come to Christ, and they're not heeding that message, but they're refusing the message of Christ. Oh, friend, there's the invitation that is extended. The Bible declares us in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hey, I'm glad today the church is made up of Jew and Gentile. Amen. Now, and I will say this, and hear me, God ain't finished with the Jew. They've been set aside, yes. Romans chapter 11. And a wild olive branch, who's that? That's the church, has been grafted in. But I promise you this, when the church is called out, he will once again make a move back toward Israel. Hey, that's why the tribulation period is called the time of Jacob's trouble. He will again begin to work on the nation of Israel as a whole. You understand, Jews can get saved today, but nationally, they're blinded. That's right. Why? They had rejected this invitation. Amen. So there's an invitation to sinner. Matter of fact, the Bible said in Revelation chapter number 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Hey, when we preach, when we sing, when we witness, we are extending an invitation to sinners to come to Christ. The Bible said over there in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, and listen to this well, Isaiah said, come now. He didn't say think about it. He didn't say come back later. He said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, an invitation goes to you today to come to Christ. We see the invitation extended, but let me say secondly, in verse 18 through 20, I see the invitation evaded. They don't heed it. The Bible said there again in verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. Man, here they are being invited. And they began to say, I can't do that. I'm busy. Oh, they began to make excuse. Now, I'm not trying to insult your intelligence about the word excuse, but I do want to drive home what it's saying. And the definition, here's what the word excuse means. It means to beg off. It means, now listen, to decline. It means to shun or to avoid. It means to refuse or reject with self-interest in mind. In other words, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'll do what you've asked later, if I choose to. Amen. People today, my friend, are not heeding the invitation, but they are giving excuse after excuse why they can't come to Christ. Oh, can I say this, and I'm going to hit this, and I'll get to the meat of my point right here in this point about the invitation being evaded. We see one said his wealth was keeping him. It said the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Hey, that land, if you got lands, you got wealth. That's right. You got lands, you do have money. Because you can put a lien on it. You can do things, borrow money against it. Hey, there's wealth in land. This man has got some land. Now, I tell you this, it's pretty sad a person buys something sight unseen. That ain't smart. I'm hesitant about buying things online. Why? I haven't seen them. I can't touch them. That's just how I am. Now, I know the rest of y'all, you're the modern day, and you can just buy and go on. I can't, but it bothers me until it arrives. That's right. This fellow was buying land without seeing it. And he said, I'm going to go look at it. Have me excuse. Hey, you know something? You say, that's crazy. Why would people let their wealth here keep them from getting saved? Amen. Didn't Jesus say, I thought about this. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, Jesus said, for what is a man profited? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Man, we're in a day that is people are materialistic. It's everything they can get their hands on and then some. And they're going to let their soul be eternally lost and have everything this world's got. That's a poor trade, is it not? Amen. You see, you are playing with your soul today. Hey, there's wealth that some are wanting to be excused. Hey, in verse 19, there's work. For the Bible said, another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Hey, those oxen were used to work and bring forth. And the Bible said, Jesus said in John 6:27, labor not for the meat that perishes. Ain't it amazing people are working for right now? Hey, look at me now. Hey, I know you ain't going to cut no cartwheels or nothing. I'm not real revved up, but I'm giving you the truth of the Scripture. There are people today that have worked themselves to death in this world for things that are going to pass away and will not work for that which does not pass away. Amen. Oh, friend, he, same type thing. He ain't even proved these. He don't even know if they're any counting he bought them. Hey, we find people are giving away, passing up salvation. My friend, for the temple, the here and now. Hey, also, the next one said, I have married a wife. And he just come out and said, I cannot come. And we find that family can get in the way sometimes of folk getting saved. Family can get in the way of you serving God. You're not careful. Amen. Hey, I love my family. Don't you ever take thinking I do. I'd fight you for my family. I would. You say, preachers ain't supposed to fight. I don't go around picking them, but if you touch my family, you're in for it. Amen, because I am a man, and the man's to take care of his family. That's right. Hey, I love my family, but you know what? I love my Lord first, because that is the order of things. We're to love God first, and then our family, and then friends, and everything else below that. I'm telling you this morning, hey, that some today, they're giving excuse why they won't come to Christ. Hey, I thought about this. I'm going to drive this home right here real quickly, just a minute. I'm going to kind of camp right here. What is your excuse? Why aren't you getting saved? I thought about something here lately. There's not many services here at Gateway that we don't have folk lost here. Very few times. I'm talking about adults. Now, there's children. I understand that. Some of them are again asking questions and different things like that, raise their hand in the invitation and things, and I acknowledge them doing that. I'm talking about somebody as an adult. There's time we have adults here that don't know Christ as Savior. I want to know what in the world are you waiting on. Why don't you get saved? Amen. What's your excuse? I mean, I know you got one, because everybody's got excuses for stuff. Amen. Hey, some are saying that's lost today. They would come by and say, well, preacher, I get saved. But all them hypocrites. That's probably the number one favorite excuse of sinners. I get saved, but why everybody around the church, they just hypocrites. I don't think so. Matter of fact, I know so. Everybody here ain't a hypocrite. Amen. And by the way, you don't care about shopping at Walmart with them. They ain't gonna keep you out of the restaurant this afternoon. Is that right? Amen. You didn't go to work Monday and quit your job because you saw another hypocrite last Sunday, did you? Amen. But folk are letting their soul, that which is going to be somewhere forever. They're saying, I'm going to let it go to hell. I'll be in hell forever. It's just calls them hypocrites. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. By the way, a Bible hypocrite's lost. A biblical hypocrite is going to hell. Please understand that. So you're going to go to hell with them. That's what you're saying. If you're not going, you say, I ain't getting saved because they're too many, then you're saying that you're just going to end up going to hell with them. You don't want to do that. That's foolish. Amen. Hey, what you need to do is repent and turn to God and be saved this morning. Hey, others are saying, well, I've got plenty of time. You know, I thought about something. Again, Bud Tim, boy, God used this morning a couple things you said that just touched my heart as my mind is on this scripture. You made a statement about Noah when he got on the ark. God called him in, and for 7 days, that door stayed open. You would have thought, when Noah and his family and all those animals on board, you've probably figured so much, well, it must be time. I better get right with God too. But the door stays open for 7 days, because listen to this. For 120 years, Noah had been warning them. You realize that? He was a preacher of righteousness. That's what the book of Peter says. So he worked a while and he'd preach a while. They figured, well, it's been 120. I've got a few more days before I need to get on that boat. Amen. You think about today. They said, well, it's been 2,000 years since the resurrection, the ascension of Christ. Why, you don't know. Amen. Hey, your life may end today, or Jesus could come today. Amen. Oh, friend, others are saying, well, I just don't believe all that stuff. I'm here because somebody's been after me. But I don't believe in God, don't believe in nothing. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be a believing one day, but it'll be too late. Amen. For there is a God. Ain't a doubt in my mind. Hey, creation declares there's a God. Hey, others are saying, well, I plan on it one day. One day. Amen. Do you know when your last day's going to be? If you don't know when your last day's going to be, you better make your one day today. Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us to boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Then somebody else would say, preacher, I'd get saved, but I can't live it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can't till the one that can't live it moves in you. Amen. You can't live without your liver. Is that right? And you can't live without the liver in you, Jesus Christ. He's the one that resurrects you. He's the one that makes you alive. If he ain't in there, you're dead. Amen. Hey, you get saved, he'll be the one enabling you to live for him. Amen. Oh, friend, there's a lot of folk giving excuses why they're not getting saved. Then let me just throw this in. It ain't even part of the text, but it's on my mind. I'm going to throw it out at you. For you that are saved, why are you not serving God? What excuse are you using that you're not busy for our Lord? There are a lot of folks, well, I'm not called of God to preach. Well, everybody ain't supposed to be preachers. Amen. But all of us that are saved are to be a witness. Amen. Oh, preacher, I just can't. Well, Moses said, Lord, I can't go down there and help. I've got a speech problem. I'm not eloquent when I speak. And the Lord didn't take that. Amen. Hey, I'm not real good. I don't have the gift of gab either. If God don't touch me, I can't preach. Amen. Hey, what about Gideon? What about Gideon, the book of Judges? He said, I'm a nobody. He said, I'm the least of my family. I'm a nobody. Hey, God specializes in taking nobodies to tell everybody about somebody who will save anybody. Amen. He can use you. Hey, maybe you're like Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I'm a child. I'm just like a child. Hey, and the Lord said, I'll put the words in your mouth. Amen. Hey, today we find that there are people who are saved that are not serving God as they should. Hey, what kind of excuse are you giving? Oh, friend, I'm going to tell you something. One day when you stand before God, you're going to wish you hadn't used all them excuses and been busy for the Lord. Amen. Hey, we find the invitation extended, the invitation evaded. Number three, and I'm winding it down. The invitation ended in verse 24. The Bible said, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. He is referring back to that first crowd that was invited but wouldn't come. They gave excuses. He went out, others came, and the house got filled up with them. But those that had refused didn't get to come into the supper. Amen. You do know this. Hear me, everybody. Look at me now. Look at me just a minute. One day the invitation of God is going to stop for you. I wish I could really, really drive that home in your heart and mind. You're putting it off and you're giving an excuse. I'm telling you, and hear this, preacher, this morning. One day the invitation will come for the last time. Amen. Do you know something? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to close with some verses. I'm going to read you some verses in just a minute. But you know what? Whether it's so, I don't know, because I'm not the Lord. But I know in my heart, the night I got saved, it was then or never. That's just how it was in my heart. It was then or never. I have even heard people say, preacher, I believed in my heart. Had I rejected Christ, he wouldn't never come in my way again. I've heard that multiple times. That well could be so. That's right, could well be so. Because I do know this one day is coming for the last time. Amen. Hey, we go to church, and I'm going to stress this to you, and then I'm going to read some verses to you. Please understand in our services that everything is geared toward that invitation. Everything we do. Every prayer, every song, every testimony, every word in the preaching, every word in the teaching is geared toward that invitation time. Invitation time is not the time to go find where your books and your Bible and your pocketbook and your code and begin getting your kids' crayons up off the pew. That ain't the time. Hello. Hey, that's the most sober and serious time of any service. All that'll wait. You ain't getting out that door no faster waiting until after the invitation to get your mess together anyhow. Amen. That's right. Hey, we need to understand that's a time when God's speaking to hearts. And I wouldn't dare want to do anything in my life that would hinder somebody from making a move toward God. Amen. Oh, friend, I want to read you some verses, and this one I'm closing with. In the book of Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, the Bible said, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, his day shall be 120 years." He said, "I'm not going to always strive with you." Then he said this, I want to read these verses, several of them. I want you to hear these verses. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, and beginning verse 24, here's what the Bible said. "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. None of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Hey, you have a chance to receive Christ, or you can reject him in one day when it's too late and you think, "Well, I'll call on him when the Lord sounds trumpet and y'all leave, I'll call on God." No, it'll be over with. He said, "I'm not even going to listen to you because you wouldn't listen to me when I was speaking to you." Amen. Hey, today is the day of salvation. I wouldn't put it off. I wouldn't be offering no more excuses. I'd turn to the Lord and be saved today. And you that are saved, hey, I know I've spent most time preaching the law, but you that are saved, you better be busy. You better be doing what God's left us here. That's tell somebody else. Amen. Hey, we all have that responsibility to let somebody else know what Christ has done in our heart. Father, take the message and use it for thy glory. Lord, I've done my best to deliver what you put in my heart in the last several days. And I pray, help us, Lord, indeed to be busy for you as your people. But Lord, I pray for that soul that's lost here one more time this morning. Oh, God, I pray this will be the day they would turn from their sin and turn to you. Lord, save souls. Help folk not to put it off no more. And all you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I've done my best to preach what the Lord laid on my heart. Best of my ability, and that ain't much. But I've tried to deliver what God gave me. And I wonder today, is there someone from the youngest to the oldest in this place? Say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm lost without God." Remember me in prayer, and you simply slip up your hand. We ain't going to embarrass you wanting to pray for you. Amen. See that young hand, those young hands, I see that. "Preacher, I'm not saved." You that are saved, you know it. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not serving the Lord. I've just been given a bunch of excuses why I've not been." And preacher, pray for me. I sure want to dedicate my life to the one that saved me, and I want to serve him. Pray for me, preacher, and just simply slip. Amen. Amen. I want us to stand. What are we going to sing, Brother Tim? "Jesus is calling. This is your time. This is the invitation. Will you come while we sing?"